The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. In case you didn't notice, we're out here at Taconic High School Studios. It is an amazing studio with amazing students and terrific teachers. And now we tried to do this once a month last year, bring guests out to Taconic and give the students an opportunity to produce a real program, which they do, and they do it very, very well. I have with me today a guest who's been on the show a lot, somebody I have the greatest admiration for and respect, and he's a good friend. His name is Jim Clark, and he is a graduate of the, pardon the expression, old Taconic High School. But good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm great, Bill. Good to see you out here. It's been a long time since we've been here.
Since we've been at Taconic. Yeah. But look at this studio compared to the other closet we were in.
It feels naked not being surrounded by albums and boxes full of vinyl. Yeah.
I want to start by thanking Mr. Dubay and Mr. Choquette, the teachers. But I also want to thank all of the students that are helping produce this program for coming in early. Thank you very much, and I hope you get as much out of this as we do when we're talking. Mm-hmm. Jim's background, and he won't because he's a very, very kind and good guy. He went to Taconic, then he went in the Army, and then he graduated from West Point. So for you kiddos out there, for you Taconic students, the world is truly at your fingertips.
It is. It's what you make
you
of
travel,
it.
I traveled the world. I graduated from Taconic. I went to PHS. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a Taconic. That
there wasn't
that
a
out.
Taconic. No, and I wasn't sure I'd get out of there either. But, and Jim then, he's the Veteran Service Agent for the City of Pittsfield now. I found out from the mayor on his program this week, soon to be retiring. But also, before that, Jim ran the Friel Senior Center. And your military experience had to help you.
Oh, yeah. It's organization. It's leading people and building teams and all that, because none of that could be done on your own. I mean, you need a good team and people that understand the mission and fulfill those requirements to take care of, you know, what the needs are of the people of Pittsfield.
Yeah.
And they're great at it. We've got a great team there. Jen took over in January.
What a great replacement she is for you.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
I've got to get her back on the show.
She would love that.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of stuff she's working on and coming up with now, and I know she wants to get out there and launch it for folks. She's been working with Jim Zeiter and Tommy Sammons.
Oh, cool.
On the, basically
preparedness.
Yeah, disaster preparedness.
Well, they asked
preparedness
me to do it. They gave me a date. I went up and the place was closed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I think they're it's a big deal. I mean, people, they had a lot of work with AARP and some other folks provided materials and all that. They put a disaster bag together that's got simple things in it, like flashlight and batteries, emergency blankets, some little...
Where do we learn that?
Yeah, no kidding. it's like your go bag. But, but no, I think it's very important that the life files that every senior should have attached to the refrigerators by magnet.
Yeah.
The fire department knows to look there when they go in to find out what your history is and anything that they need, med allergies, things like that. So it saves the fire department a lot of time, and it's just a great thing that they're doing. And Jen's got all sorts of other things that I'm sure she'd love to talk to you about.
No, I'll reach it. Well, we're starting. For those candidates that are out there that are running for office, if you haven't gotten a hold of me, you have till Friday, because then we have to set the agenda and the recordings times.
Yeah.
We're starting to interview all the candidates who've got a hold of me. I'm still missing about 9 or 10, believe it or not.
Wow, that's about half of them.
Yeah. But to those who have reached out, thank you. It just makes the job at PCTV and WTBR and mine a little bit easier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, you've got a whole slew of new school committee candidates, which I think is going to be huge. I think it's a lot of shakeup going on. I mean, we got the new interim superintendent.
Yeah.
From all accounts, I heard she's doing a great job.
I have heard exactly the same thing.
And then you've got, some things that cause not causing an issue, but could potentially. Yeah. You got Kristen leaving.
Yeah.
To go to Southern Berkshire, especially we know what the budget cycle's like.
Yeah,
to get somebody new is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It's always exciting to talk about the kids because, I mean, they're the future, and we want to give them everything that they can have to be successful. And I think this studio right here just exemplifies that. Oh. I mean, like you said, the kids coming in at 6:30 in the morning, you know, getting me out of bed at 6:30 in the morning would be tough, but coming in here at 6:30 to have this all set up for us to go live at 7:30, I mean, that says a lot.
It says volumes to me. Yeah. One of the things that I always admired about what Mr. Choquette and now Mr. Dubois is doing is that they're getting real life experience. Mm-hmm. It isn't all theoretical.
Right.
I mean,
right.
we have a young man over there, and he tells us what to do. we're going to try to pay attention. We're not always good at it.
He's got a big whip over there. He's going to be careful.
Yeah. But a stage manager, we got guys and girls in the control room.
Right. Yeah.
It's exciting to come here to see how enthusiastic they are because, you know, you do this every day. Mm-hmm. It can get old.
Well, you know, I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, they realize how important communications is. And I think this type of direct communication to the people is a lot different than reading something on Facebook or, you know, the other things that the podcasts and all that are out there. I mean, obviously, we saw in the last election that podcasts and things like that changed the whole tilt
of
the election.
Tenor. Yeah.
And I think it's very important. That you know they understand that everything's not we were born in a time when we didn't have cell phones raised in that time and these kids come out with one in their hand you know and probably when they were born they gotta go you gotta trade 18. Up you're ready for a new one but it's I think it's important that you know they do this and they understand that a lot of the things it's something that you have with one person's view and just make sure they understand. And you always say that. I mean, this is not the whatever you say, the thing you're about to say it, I'm sure. This is not the opinions of the TBR and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just us. It's just us talking. And
that's right.
You know, we've been doing this now for 12 years. And I remember the first time we did it as Wander in the old Taconic High School.
Yeah.
And when we did that fun driver thing a few years ago when we went up to City Hall and we all spoke our 3 minutes and, you know, about keeping it on. I had the, I don't know if it's a luxury or disaster of following behind Father Chris.
Yeah.
So that was a tough act to follow after him.
Yeah, I know. And he's a big shot in the diocese.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
But Timmy Shagrew getting up there talking about that. Because I remember Tim was one of the first DJs at TBR back in the 70s.
Yeah.
So it's come a long way.
And, you know, to his credit, the district attorney is on once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Chief of police, the chief of the fire department, I can't say enough. They're cutting edge. I always have them on around this time of the year to tell people, you know, clean your furnace, make sure you're ready for winter.
It's a tough time because this is where we've seen, and if you talk to Tom and the other deputies and even down to the firefighters, I mean, they're just phenomenal teams created. But we don't have a lot of fires. And when we do, unfortunately, they're oftentimes bad, but it's part of the inspection program. Making sure that the word gets out. We don't want people out there with issues when it comes to hoarding. I think some of the disasters we've had over the last dozen years or so have been that. I mean, there's been a couple where papers and stuff was stacked up on flimsy little 99-cent extension cords, caught the house on fire, and all stuff that was preventable. And same thing with I know one of the things they're pushing right now is the smoke detectors for seniors.
Yeah.
Get those in, make sure that they change the batteries out. And it sounds like a simple thing, but when you're, you know, above a certain age, I won't say right. which there, getting up on a ladder to even put a smoke detector up is extremely difficult.
Yeah. And I don't get on ladders. No. I honestly don't get on ladders anymore.
And they have volunteers that'll come out and put them in or in that, and I think that's just huge. And we're very lucky, you know, knock on wood, that you know we haven't had any big disaster, because you see them all the time on TV. Just, for example, that was 4 or 5 months ago, that assisted living down in the Cape area. I mean, that was
went
a disaster.
Like, terrible swift sword.
Yep. It was and, very bad. Yeah.
We as a city, you know, and I know we'll get some pushback, but as a city, I believe, and I really mean this, that we're moving forward. Yes, we have issues. There are homeless issues. But you know what? Go to L.A. I mean, the whole, and you know this because you're on the street. The whole, it's not just a place to live. It's a multitude of issues that a lot of people have. You have to address long before they get a place to live.
Right. Yes, and you know we're not certainly alone in all of this. We've seen this. We're just a microcosm of the rest of the country. Everybody has their own issues.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's been proven over and over again that you know giving somebody a place to live is not going to fix their needs.
You
got to address the substance abuse, the alcoholism, the mental health issues. Getting a place should be a reward for getting through that. Once you've got that under control, whether you have to be institutionalized for a little while to get it under control, here's your reward for getting out a place to live, and let's keep it up. And it doesn't stop there. It needs to go. Once you're in, it doesn't, you got a house, we move on to the next person.
Yeah, no.
You know, there's got to be supportive programming, just like they're going to have at Zion Church. When that opens, there'll be somebody there all the time.
Beautiful.
Or at least daily to take care of those needs. And, you know, we got the one going up across from the Hot Dog Ranch again. A good number of units there. I mean, thankfully, things are popping up all over. You've got a couple different small units, like on Wendell Ave, I think there's one.
Yeah.
But White Terrace is the big one.
Terrace and the one on Jim's House of Shoes.
Right.
I probably get myself in trouble now, but by now most people who know me realize it's. But to watch people just go after, and you know, even some elected officials saying, "We want this, we want that." It's an ambiguous thing. You can go 6 months and place a lot of people, and then all of a sudden, three of those people are back out on the street, whatever. And, you know, I've been in public service a long time, and I've seen it happen one too many times. And you have too. I mean, my heart goes out to a lot of the veterans who are homeless, may have drinking or drug problems, but most of the time it's psychological PTSD.
Can be, and it's not necessarily from the service.
And I
see that a lot. And everybody wants to get into the program and get some money for it, and all that doesn't fix anything.
No,
you know, and a lot of it's not from the service. You look, they served stateside, maybe not even a full tour. Before they were put out of the military, but you know what's happened to them over time still causes issues. And you know, thank God, you know we've got here in Pittsfield and you know Central Berkshire County, we got Soldier on. Who
what a marvelous job they've done through the years.
Yes,
and that was a vision. God rest his soul, Jack.
But you know, for the last 20 plus years, and getting new people in every day, and you know, giving them you know a second chance or maybe third or fourth chance, I don't know, but in some cases, but you know, it's a place where they can, especially with the Gordon Mansfield, I mean, it's a place they can call their own. You know, they basically own where they live. And they take a lot of pride in it. We've been through tours of there, especially when we get dignitaries that come in. They always want to go to Soldier On, and you always have one or two vets that say, "Hey, you can come see my place."
And they're proud of it.
They're very proud of it. Yeah, the guys and the women's program down below on the hill is phenomenal, and I think it's exactly they have owners first time in their life. They might say, say, hey, I own something. And that's a good thing. And, you know, they are relying on other things, but a lot of them are, you know, at the point where they're pretty much self-sustaining. They got a place to live. Nobody's coming in.
Many of them have a job.
A lot of them have jobs, or they come in, they're proud of what they have. Nobody's doing a bunk inspection every morning, but they keep their places up. And, again, and that's for respect to the people, so you're left and right.
Yeah.
But it's a great program. And, you know, like you said, Jack started it, but now you got Bruce and the other guys. I'll still run it.
All the guys.
The ladies in the program, Sarah, Casey, all of them that are running the women's program and Soldier On in general is just huge. And they're not just here anymore. They've got a place in Fall River now. The Agawam, Chicopee, obviously Leeds. There's a place, I think, in Mississippi.
Mississippi.
And New York, spreading to New York State. Yeah.
What, again, in fairness to Jack and in tribute to Jack, he saw a need that the government wasn't fulfilling. So he started this. He's not with us anymore, but his legacy will live on.
Live on for years.
For years and years. And Jim and I have talked about this in the past. I believe separation from the military for some of these folks, they've lost their structure.
Yes.
When you're in the military, it's not a job. Mm-hmm. It's a way of life. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, see ya, and out the door they go, and they go, now what?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's no different than even, you know, being here by a set time.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you get here 15 minutes early.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, 10 minutes early, you're late.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that was my first sergeant.
Yeah, yeah. But like here, so if you're, you know, this is live.
Yeah.
So obviously you had to be here, you know, on air, and if you got the 2 and 3 minute countdown to start, you know, for the last, what, 8 or 9 years, we've been doing mostly, you know, Zoom or delayed, and so you can edit it, but there's no editing today. So
we got to be on our best behavior.
On our best behavior, yeah. But I think that's the important part of understanding that people give up a lot of structure. Yeah. And a lot of people needed it. That's why, you know, you go back to the start of the all-volunteer army after Vietnam, and a lot of people were in the military because it was either that or jail.
Yeah.
And the judges and the court system realized these people need some structure. And for a lot of people, it was a good thing.
Yeah.
Not everybody, you know, cut it. You know, it didn't make the long haul, you know, got in, got out, because it wasn't going to work for them. But at the same time, you see what's that done. And I've seen so many people come through my office saying if it wasn't for, you know, the Marines or whatever branch they went into, they would be a disaster, if not even alive. So it's huge.
I know and worked with a guy after we both retired. We did some call-in work for the government. I won't give his name. He was a master gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps, next to God.
Yep.
Or in his opinion, God.
God, yes. Yeah. Anybody to work for him.
But he was in trouble as a teenager in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge said to him, you got one choice or two choices. You can either join the military or you can go to jail.
Yep.
And he went and he joined the Marines and he never left.
Yep.
Three tours in Vietnam, Quezon for one.
Yep.
I mean, the military now is seeing a little bit of a resurgence, and I'm happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because for a lot of people, it creates their future.
It does, and you learn a trade, and I think that's the important part.
Yeah.
You know, when I talk to kids about thinking about going in the military, do something you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, because it— like if you're into aviation, you know, get in the Air Force or get into the Army and the helicopter side, learn a trade. It's going to go a long way. As you mentioned before we got on the air, talking about, you know, here with the vocational program, you know, with the Toyota backing here, I mean, you're going to learn what you need to do so you can hit the ground running on graduation day.
And
you're expected, hey, you graduated yesterday, you need to go to work on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, for, you know,
real work. Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, that happens, and a lot of people take their trades. You see so many carpenters and contractors locally here that most of them were in the Navy CBs.
Yeah.
You talk to them, the CBs got them started, and a lot of them stayed in the reserves and got deployed and mobilized because of what they did.
Yeah.
Because contract, you know, you go into another country that's, you know, third world, that has no infrastructure, somebody's got to build it.
That's, you know, yeah.
I was thinking last night, it was kind of funny. I was thinking, when I was an engineer, I built runways in, you know, jungles and in the desert quicker than they can finish Valentine Road.
I'm like, I didn't want to go there, Jim. You know who lives on Valentine Road?
I know, and I hear about it all the time.
Our friend, the mayor, and I've seen tank trails at Fort Knox that were smoother than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wow. I mean, I know there's probably every time they turn, you know, there's another issue, but I was like, God, I built airstrips quicker than they've gotten this done. So it's like amazing. But and that's more of a credit to the military about how quickly we do it, because you don't have a time, you know, you've got a quick timeline, almost 0 hours to get it done.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just, it's pretty.
Well, logistics, too. I mean, we say what you want about the military, but logistically, I don't think there's anybody in the world better than the military. They can move a whole bunch of people to a whole new place with everything they need to survive and exist.
Yeah. I remember, you know, Desert Storm was probably the first indicator of that, because we had everybody deployed, you know, forward facing into, you know, into East Germany and Russia and all that. And we swiveled right there and took a lot of that force and put it in the desert in no time.
Yeah.
And I was joking a couple weeks ago with a loadmaster from the Air Force and talking about trying to put an M1 tank on a C-130 we didn't even have C-17s on C-5s and just how precise you had to be. Now it's all computer driven.
Oh yeah.
But in the old day of loadmaster, you had all these sheets and charts and you had to know math. I mean, out, because it could be off by 6 inches and it's going to cause the aircraft to go sideways. I mean, it's really crazy. Yeah.
And again, a trade, so many have learned trades that they've carried with them when they got out.
Yep.
And I think that's excellent advice. If you're thinking you're going in the military, learn something you can take out with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Quick little aside, war story, talking about that. I was consulting for a company many years ago that built portable relocatable cells.
Mm-hmm.
And they deployed them in the first Gulf War.
Right, yeah.
And they built them, like, in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they're everything, plumbing, wiring, just plug in.
Remind me of those mini homes that they were making in North Adams.
Yeah.
A little bit bigger, but yeah.
You know, going back to before we go to break, going back to the senior center, I strongly encourage seniors to get involved at the senior center. They do. They have so many things, fun things going on.
Mm-hmm.
They got a luncheonette there. Some people, I see them. I don't go in there that often, but when I do, they're there.
Right.
And it's so well run. Jennifer, the new head of it, when Jim ran it, was wonderful. But now Jennifer goes in. She really is totally involved.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she's there every day. She's there early every day, and she's got an hour ride to get to work. So, and she's there, and she really loves it. And you can tell it's in her demeanor. It's in the demeanor of the people that work for her.
Yeah,
that they have that in mind, and always coming up with something new.
Yeah,
you know, in addition to the cafe you're talking about on the first floor, we also have the congregate meal site.
Yeah, that's right.
The Meals on Wheels for 60 or over, and it's free. Or asking for a donation up to $3 if you have it. If you don't, you still eat, and it's nutritional, and a lot of times that's people's only hot meal in the day.
You're exactly right.
You know, and same with the Meals on Wheels. I mean, that's, again, we can't talk about the senior center without talking about Elder Services and what they do. Chris and his team have just a fantastic reputation for. And we have the largest county in square miles that they cover. And we have 32 communities in Berkshire County that they reach out to touch everybody. Meals on Wheels, options counselor, seeing what the needs are of people, what services can be provided. Because I get those calls. We all get those calls all the time about, you know, especially when people are leaving facilities now. They've been in rehab or, short-term nursing care. And now they need to go home. Well, they're going to a home, back to a home that they can't traverse because they live on a second floor apartment.
Exactly.
So now we got to find a first floor apartment. We know what the housing stock is in Pittsfield. So trying to find something for somebody and getting that under control. And, you know, we've got, two, three main agencies that handle housing in Pittsfield, and you know they're working full time. Pittsfield Housing, Berkshire, Upside 413, I think is their new name for Berkshire Housing, but same thing, just trying to get people in there and coordinating with discharge planning from those facilities to get somebody home, what they need, and you know you've been in the hospital. I mean, you just I want to go home tomorrow, or today if we can do it, and like we got to wait. You know, some of those waits are a while.
And even to go to a skilled nursing facility now, it's not very rarely is it overnight.
Right, right.
Because they're pretty full too.
They are full, and you know we've had a number of them in Western Mass, and I say Western Mass because I'm talking east of Springfield back to here that have actually closed.
Yeah.
And central, corridor there, Hamden, Hampshire County, they've had over the last 18 months to 24 months had two or three close. And where do those people go? They take up the remaining beds we have here in Berkshire County. So it's really tough.
And it's today, providing that service. I remember when I was a young kid, my grandparents, we would walk twice a day, probably 2 miles each way. My mother was a nurse. All her sisters were nurses. Mm-hmm. And they took shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think back, it really is a little kid walking with her over for her shift and then back.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it out of an obligation, I guess, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the world has changed. The diseases, they were just old.
Right.
They had issues, but made sure they were clean and they were in beds and in their meals. Because one of the things, I was speaking with somebody that my sister-in-law who's passed, they would forget to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They would forget to eat. Now, that's not my problem.
No. But you forget to eat, and the next thing is you forget to take your meds.
Or shower.
Even put a certain item of clothing on. It's like walk outside without pants on. But
I only do that to get the paper. Figured our neighbors need a drink. But the pretty soon we're going to break. I want to let people know I'm here. This wonderful gentleman, his name is Jim Clark. He is a Taconic High School graduate, the old Taconic, as we refer to it. We were reminiscing about the studio that WTBR had there. It was a closet, and you could go like this and touch the walls.
Right.
But Jim went into the military, and he's a graduate of West Point and served, 21?
Almost 30, yeah.
Almost 30 years in the military. And he's a wonderful guest. He ran the Fryos Senior Center for a long time, and now he's still the veteran service agent. But veterans, Jim Clark will be retiring. He's got his paperwork in.
Yep.
You will be missed. You've helped
a
lot of guys. And I think when you came here, you brought a wealth of knowledge, one, about the military, but one about the other organization.
Oh, yeah, the Wounded Warrior Program.
Wounded Warrior.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that was I was telling the general that spoke the other day on Saturday at the dedication. He and I were, we were lieutenant colonels together.
Oh, wow.
And so we were, and he said, yeah, the last time I saw you were at Fenway. We had a Wounded Warrior thing going on at Fenway because he's part of the home base. With the guys down there. But, yeah, it was that was a great program. I was telling the guy that was with him that the first 20 years of my career, I broke things as an armor cav guy. And then last 10 years, I fixed things. And I think that last 10 was the most rewarding, fixing people up and getting them, you know, set back to their home life. And that was a lot because we took care, managed their health remotely. They were using VAs, local doctors, things like that. And made sure that, you know, before they got off the program, they were ready to go step back the next day and go back to their civilian job.
Right.
A lot of them were guard and reservists, so they needed to go back to civilian work, and they needed to be ready. They didn't have to get out of there and go, I can't work. I'm still broken. So it wasn't fair to them. So that was what the gist of that program was.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to take a break. I'm here again with Jim Clark. We are broadcasting, live from Taconic High School's television, radio program here at Taconic, the broadcasting program. Everybody behind the scenes today, they're all students, and they're making this happen. So Jim and I are doing the best we can not to mess it up. So we'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, while we are simulcasting on PC TV channel 1301. We also now reach out into Southern Berkshire. So we are very happy about that, and welcome to all our new listeners and viewers. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Wonder what happened to those great local PCTV channels? Did you lose them? No worries, they're still there. Go to cable channels 1301, 1302, and 1303 to watch the best local content on television. News and information, sports and entertainment, city council, school committee, July 4th parade. It's all there waiting for you. Pittsfield Community Television. For over 30 years, we are still your local television.
What would it be like not having PCTV's reliable coverage of our Pittsfield City meetings? Well, the answer is it would be like driving in the darkness without headlights. We need the light to show us exactly what's coming our way. PCTV's coverage is that light. It's so reliable and dependable, we don't even think about not having it, but nothing can be taken for granted. Support this building block of democracy today. It's too important to lose, especially now. Pittsfield Community Television. See it all. Decide for yourself.
Join Peter and Jessica to relive the magic of Beatlemania every Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. For 5 decades, the Fab Four, where together or on their own, has changed the world of music. Tune in to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 FM, Tuesdays, 4 to 6 p.m.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back. I'm here today. This is WTBR Morning Drive. Yes, we're live from Taconic High School today. And I have with me someone I'll consider a friend but have a great deal of respect and admiration for. His name is Jim Clark. He is currently – he's had a lot of hats. currently, he is the Veteran Service Officer for the City of Pittsfield. He will be retiring. Veterans, spouses, whatever, if you need help, you better get down there quickly. And also, for several years, he was the head of the Ralph Fryo Senior Center. And before I forget, seniors, get down there. And I want to give Jim and his whole team some kudos. During COVID, the senior center staff and Jim, they called how many people?
Almost
10,000. Consistently checking on them. And, you know, there should be some kind of a reward for that, an acknowledgement of all the effort that those folks put in checking on their fellow citizens. And, you know, that, again, I think you brought a lot of that from the military.
Yeah.
We don't leave anybody behind.
But it was more than just the staff. I mean, the board helped out, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, Teresa Bianchi and, you know, the members of the board then made their calls as well to check on folks. And a lot of times it was just, hey, you know what? I got it. I know how to get a hold of you in case something happens.
Yeah.
But there were other calls that could last 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah. They're lonely.
They were lonely and very uncertain. I mean, we look back right now and go, okay, that's behind us in the rearview mirror. To the most part, because we got another COVID vaccine coming up on the 14th of October, in case people are interested, but get a hold of the health department for that or the senior center. But, you know, we know more now than we did then. God, we spent billions of dollars on cleaning supplies, find out that it really didn't do much other than it made the flu go away because everybody was clean.
Yeah.
Hand sanitizer, if you had stock in that, you're probably a billionaire now in hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
But, it was just to let people know that they weren't alone and there was resources. We were still doing the congregate meal site, although it was just grab and go.
Yeah.
But they were still able to get that meal every day, just come knock on the back door, and we'd hand them a meal.
Cool.
And that was probably the highest numbers we ever had for that during that period of time for, you know, getting food out to people. And it was just, I mean, I was looking at a video the other day, the music song that Billy Bean did about, you know, heroes in the Berkshires. And, you know, there's all sorts of great pictures in that video if you ever get a chance to watch it. And, you know, there's several of us. We were still running the van.
Yeah.
And, you know, people still needed to get to doctors if they could get to a doctor. And it's just like nothing really slowed down. I think, we worked just as hard then as we do now.
Yeah. And again, there's so many advantages to the senior center. They have vans that can take you here and there, but it's not unlimited. You have to put forth an effort and make your reservation.
Right,
and,
right.
But when you go in there, many of us will remember when it was the Capitol.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And I really want seniors to get involved with that. Too often, and you're getting into the senior range now, that so many of them retire and that's it.
Yeah. And, well, oftentimes they're still with their partner when they retire.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're doing things together, and then something happens to one of them. And then it's like, what do I do now? I haven't created any of these relationships or things that I'm comfortable with, and now I'm kind of hesitant to do it. And a lot of times you'll see friends of friends, they'll drag somebody in. They go, oh, I wish I had come sooner.
Yeah.
Or you get folks that come in now as a couple, knowing that if something happens to one, that they have something there for them.
We were just talking about that, the Polish princess and I. She wants to do some of the Tai Chi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, let's do it, and I'll be at the cafeteria.
I'll be here when you're done, huh?
Yeah. Call me. I got the car.
Christine does a great job running that class.
Oh, she does.
Fantastic.
Roseanne did it a couple times, and then, you know, it's life. I mean, I don't think we have ever been as busy as we are now when we were working.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was telling, you know, John Driscoll the other day, he was the GO that spoke, and I said, you know, this would be my second retirement because I retired from the military about 13 years ago, and it was just like, okay, I need a hobby because, you know, a long weekend kills me just sitting home for a long weekend.
Yeah.
A 3-day weekend. Give it a 4-day weekend. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going nuts here. And so, you know, that's when I got into teaching. That was my hobby, did substitute teaching. And that ended up with Joe Curtis over at Morningside for a year. And then the veteran job opened up. But, I just needed something. And I don't know how I'm going to handle this on January 1st.
Yeah.
January 2nd, be like, what do I do today? You know, I'm not sure yet. So
I'll speak with Lauren. She'll have
She's got a honey-do list.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I won't mention a person's name because we've been friends since North Junior High. But he's been retired for like 3 or 4 years, and his wife just retired. And I said, "So how are you doing adjusting to the new regime?" So, but for retirement, for especially for people in Pittsfield, the use of the our senior center, even the people in Dalton, the Dalton Center up there,
very nice center up there. I
just want people to get out because I hear too many they just totally retire, and then I can't. I'm by now everybody knows I'm a half a bubble off a plum, but I live under this thing. I've been given the opportunity that some of my colleagues in Vietnam never got.
Right.
I'm going to take advantage of it till they put the lid down.
Right, right. You know, one of the things that you it sounds minimal, but it's actually huge, the mall closing.
No,
Know, I mean, that's where the seniors and folks would go. They'd just kind of stroll through, get some exercise, you know, window shop, maybe go into a store now. But you could do that year-round. And now you can't. It's unfortunate, but trying to make up for that is, the Y's done a great job putting that indoor walking track in.
Yeah.
And other places, the two pools between the boys club, boys and girls club, and the Y, and that. And obviously, Pittsfield investing in redoing the Taconic track draws a lot of
beautiful,
people.
Beautiful, yeah.
Beautiful track, yeah. And it gives people something to do. But then again, that's.
Yeah,
being generous, let's say 7 or 8 months out of the year. The other 4 months, you're kind of stuck. What do you do?
Yeah.
And from what I understand, this is going to be one of those winters where you wish you were in Florida.
Yeah,
because it's supposed to be a nasty winter. Instead of being out walking, you'd be out shoveling or snow blowing or both.
This is my time of the year, the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I love the brisk mornings. I love the beautiful afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
But right around the corner is that time of the year when everybody sings Jingle Bells.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not far from now.
No, no.
And I think, like I said, it's been, when you go through the summer of COVID, 2020, it was a beautiful summer. That winter of 2020-21 was, we had tons of snow.
Yeah.
And it's almost been identical this year to that. Same type of spring.
Yeah.
We had no start to summer. I mean, May just rained the whole time. Then all of a sudden summer was here, and now summer's gone.
Yeah.
And we're starting to feel those mornings. I think the other morning, I think it was like 34. Yeah. I was waiting for the furnace to kick on.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't need that yet. And I think the biggest thing is just what do we do? We looked at that. What do we need to do for people? And let's just create some programming where they can get in here and do something. There's been programs there for years, but trying to add new programming. And adding new programming is tough. You have people that have great ideas, but they don't want to run it. We don't run programs. We have people that come in and run them.
Yeah.
So I think you ought to do this. Look, you're going to run it? Go, hell no. I'm not going to run it.
Yeah,
no. So I guess we're not going to have
retired.
That program.
Well, that's what I get.
Exactly.
I'm retired.
I'm retired, yeah. And we were doing the trips and all that, but they've been way down. But again, unfortunately, when COVID was there, and then when COVID was over, we kind of orchestrated our own trips and kept the price down. Now they won't allow us to set up our own. They got to go through those companies to set them up. And of course, we've run a trip for $79, and the same exact trip through one of those companies is $129.
Yeah.
Making $50 off each person, and it ends up being almost unaffordable now for folks. We'll get a trip for 50 people, and we fill it with only 20. We can't run a trip that way.
I remember that when the boxes went up to $7,
mm-hmm.
the tape cable boxes.
Yep, yep.
Went to the hearing down at the, believe it was at the library, and this lady, and I'll never forget it, and I wish more people, especially politicians who pass these laws
mm-hmm.
and rules, would understand. This lady got up and she was speaking from her heart. She said, $7 a month may not seem like a lot to you, but I have two televisions. That's $14 a month. That can be a copay for medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a meal, or that can be groceries.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think they're $17 a month or something.
Well, you're lucky. I mean, most people's cable bill, because a lot of it now you have to have the the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So now you're talking, you know, hundreds of dollars.
It's a Polish princess, and I know she's watching and listening. Yeah. Every time the bill comes in, we have this talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Do we really need this?
Yeah. Do we need all of this? We have nothing new. The bill just keeps going up.
Unfortunately. But again, we've had this conversation multiple times. I've had it with Pete Marchetti and his office staff. It's like, how do you get your information?
Yeah.
Well, I don't you know, subscribe to the Eagle.
Yeah.
I don't listen to the radio. I don't watch TV. But I didn't know about this. I'm sorry, smoke signal generator's broken, or you're not sending up smoke signals.
I mean, I get that too.
But things like this are important. And I think, to your point, that if this is the way people in a rural area are going to get their information, it has to be affordable.
Right.
You know, and I know the companies that provide these services, I mean, they're a business.
They need to make
a profit, but at what expense? And we're coming up on an election time.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do we see here in Pittsfield? I really don't care about Governor Hochul and everything in New York State, but that's what we get because we're on New York Channel. And you know, and again, you talk about the people coming up with their rules. Well, the FCC needs to take a look at, we are not New York. I'm sorry, we're not New York.
Yeah.
So
and
I need to know what's going
different.
Yes, and I need to know what's going on in Boston and all that. If I'm going to, you know, elect a governor or something, I want to know what they're about. I don't care about Hochul. You know, she's not my person.
Yeah.
And I think we've gotten to that point now where people have heard us, but again, it's bureaucracy to get it fixed. But I think that's the other thing with some of these other outlets to, you know, streaming services and all that, where you can get news out of Albany.
Yeah.
And if you want Albany, if you want Springfield, you can get it. What's the one? Spectrum 9 covers Western Mass, so we get some information. But that's new. I mean, you go back a few years, and you didn't have that information.
No.
And But I hear it all the time. Well, I don't read the Eagle. I don't do this. So how am I supposed to know? I'm like, that's a great question, you know.
And I will tell you, this radio station and this TV station, while all of the programming is volunteers, it's safe to say we made our bones there in COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were on air. We were bringing in, you know, the people from the health department, the mayor was coming out once a month, state of the city, or once a week, I'm sorry. So we felt an obligation. We had to be a source.
Right.
And to the leadership, you know, Sean and all the board, go with it. And, you know, they made an accommodation because of my lungs, but they made an accommodation that I broadcast from home.
Right.
Or I Zoom from home.
Right.
This city comes together. I've lived all over the world, as you have.
Mm-hmm.
I've never lived in a city where if somebody's house burns down, next thing you know, there's a fundraiser somewhere, or somebody's kids in the hospital in Boston, there's a fund. With all our quirks and jerks and everything, every city has, we really have a city that comes together. I mean, you and I could have retired anywhere, and I chose here because, yes, I was from here, but there's just some camaraderie in the city of Pittsfield.
And unfortunately, you know, we do our best in Pittsfield during tragedy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a nice way to say it, but it's true. You look at White Terrace, you look at the other places.
Yeah.
When White Terrace caught fire, we instantly went down, opened up the senior center, brought the people in there. Red Cross came there, did all the work there that night. Fire department used it as a staging for some of that. And again, the GoFundMe pages and all that, I mean, were wonderful. People just wanted to give. And unfortunately, a lot of those people didn't have, you know, 2 cents to give, but they scraped the 2 cents together for somebody else. And you're absolutely right. And I think during COVID and other times, people turned to PCTV and programming like this to get the news because we cover – you couldn't possibly fit every person that would want to go to a city council meeting for some of these sessions. They couldn't possibly fit in there. But you can watch it on TV. You can watch it at your own leisure.
That's right.
And go back. I think with the candidates, with the debates and everything else that go on, people get informed. A lot of people can't get out. They want to get out. They'll I can either go to these debates or I can save my energy to go vote.
Yeah.
And they're going to save it to vote, but at least they're making a informed decision by getting the information they're getting through, you know, programming like this.
Yeah, I when I started in radio a long time ago, I wanted to be informational, educational, and have a few laughs along the way. Mm-hmm. And when I started, I also labor, and I sometimes harder than other times, under the belief it's okay to disagree. It's not okayable to be disagreeable.
Right, right.
And I've had people on the show that I probably wouldn't have a coffee with, but they have a right to have their voice
Absolutely.
Heard.
Absolutely, yeah.
We are Pittsfield Community Television. We are Pittsfield Community Radio. Mm-hmm. And I take that word community very seriously, as I know you do. I mean, when you're at the, even now, for all you do for veterans, in navigating... And navigating the Veterans Administration is like navigating any bureaucracy.
It is. It is.
Yeah, we got your paperwork. You did not cross the T on page 4, line 9. Mm-hmm. We'll be sending it back.
Right.
You know, and I said, dude.
Yeah.
But, again, and I don't want to – we have – I have to say this on air. We have a clinic here in Pittsfield in the Conti Building – upstairs, that is the finest clinic I have ever been in anywhere in the world. They just, Michelle and the whole Jennifer and the whole team there, they greet you and they're sincere about it.
They are. I just had my annual physical last week with Dr. McGraw. He's getting ready to retire.
No, I've already told him that's impossible.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I retire before he does. So I probably won't see him again. But they got another guy, PA, in there, Jeff Kellogg, who is doing a very nice job. Heard nothing but good things about what he's doing. You're right. I mean, we got a great clinic. And I guess, you know, being in the military, you're used to that type of environment, a clinical environment. So you don't know who you're going to get. Actually, more so now I know that I'm going to get Dr. McGraw. And I'm scheduled for him. But,
me too.
You know, in the military, when you went through, you came in and you're like, who's on today? You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, they met your needs, what you needed.
Exactly.
And of course, it even started early. You didn't even go to the clinic until you went to, like, the aidman. In the unit.
In the unit,
you know, he's the one who referred you to the clinic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you got a standard cold or something, there's stuff he had in his little kit bag he could give you. You didn't need to go to the clinic and take up time. We've got a wonderful group there. And even Leeds. I've got an appointment tomorrow down in Leeds I have to go to for optometry. But, you know, I don't mind the ride, especially this time of year. It's a beautiful ride
beautiful
up Route
ride.
9
yeah.
to get there. And, it's been a long time coming. I mean, I think I talked to some people who never experienced Eagle Street to what we have now.
Yeah.
I mean, the clinic in the Conti Building is just, you know, top notch.
Yeah.
You know,
and they were going to sell it. I mean,
right. Yeah, probably wrong decision there.
They're going to save $20 a month.
Right. But I think what they do there is really good and happy about it.
I think,
you know, and again, you and I had this conversation a million times about this is not your grandfather's or your father's VA.
No.
You know, and if that's what's stuck in your mind, then you need to do a little retooling because there is care there.
Yes.
Excellent care. And they hear you and they'll work with it. And even they get frustrated with some of the bureaucracy. But they know how to fix it. Like, you know, I got prescribed a med and went down because it was going to be – had to be mail order, had to wait for like a week for it to come. So they set me up down at Big Y to pick it up.
Yeah.
I go down there, that'd be a $47 copay. I'm like, what? So Michelle got right on the phone and fixed this because you're not paying anything.
Yeah.
You know? And this was $47 pay for 4 days of the pill that I was going to be on. Yeah. So, I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I take a pill for my lung disease that because of Agent Orange. I have very bad lungs now. I thought the VA wouldn't pay for it. But then then they changed their mind. But the copay was for 30 days, the copay was almost $400.
Right, right. The copay.
The copay.
Yeah, not to pay out of pocket.
Nah.
Right,
nah.
Right.
And then when the VA, finally acknowledged that it was Agent Orange that caused, because you know how they fought that. But we only have those problems when it leaves the local unit.
Right, right.
When in the local unit, we get the best care you can get, the best clinic. Lee's the same thing. I did have a bad experience.
Your first experience.
Yeah, my first thing. We won't go there.
Yeah.
But ever since then, it's the care, the level of care is what is amazing to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think part of it, and we've had this conversation before too, but I think the biggest part of it was getting veterans working with veterans in there, and not the the civilian. You know, what was that one comment? I'm too smart to have joined the military or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. He didn't last long.
No, no. And you know, when you think about folks, the city of Pittsfield, we're going to be closing in a few minutes. Is there issues? Yeah, there's a lot of issues. But people really are trying. And I guess I say this to some of our elected officials. Our city department heads, they're doing their job. Be kind to them. And I mean that sincerely. I watch some of the meetings, and I don't think they mean to be that way. But it's just how you come across as demeaning or accusatory.
Yeah.
These people are busting their butts.
Well, and the other thing, too, is to remember there's always two to three sides of every story.
That's right.
And if you're hearing from the person out there, they may be spot on, but they don't realize that just down the road there's an issue. That's why they can't fix yours today.
Yeah.
Because if we fix yours, it's going to blow up five places down the street.
And some of it's the city.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have parking on the – now, winter's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have no parking on the street or parking on the street. Depends. Some people don't care. They just park.
Yeah.
But now here comes the guys from the garbage people, trash people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to take that arm, go over your car, pick it up, and bring it back. My heart goes out to them. And again, walk a mile in their shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's very important to understand that they don't come to work saying, how can I mess this up today?
No.
How can we do it best? And it's from wastewater, water, to highway, to health department, everybody in between. They've taken basically you raise your right hand to, just like we did in the military, to support the laws of the state and the community. And they do, a lot of them do the best they can. Now, are there a few that don't? Any organization.
Any organization, yeah.
So, unfortunately, sometimes they get all the press and the attention, and that's too bad.
Yeah, it is. And again, I thank the people who work hard for me in the city, from the city clerk's office that always, always going over backwards, tax people. excuse me, I don't want to leave anybody out. But Jim, I we got about 2 minutes left. I can't thank you for coming.
Mm-hmm.
For an old Army guy, I know it's not a tough, I'm still getting up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's wonderful to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Congratulations on your retirement when it happens. I'm not happy about it. We'll speak to the mayor.
And Lauren.
And Lauren, yeah. I want to thank you folks for watching and listening and being here with us today. This is a wonderful studio. We have wonderful students. Kids, people out there, they're not students. They're not kids anymore. Because they're producing this just as it would be produced on Fox or MSNBC or anybody else. And they're in the back. And they came in. I want to make this clear. They came in early to do this. Now, they're going to go places in life. I firmly believe that. And because of what they're learning here, they will be able to carry their talents to a job way in the future.
Yeah, yeah, and I wish them the best of luck with that too,
because
I think
great?
This yeah. is a great foundation to you know, to learn this stuff in high school and earlier is phenomenal.
And their teachers, Mr. Dubé, and Choquette, sorry, senior moment. I have a lot of them lately. In fact, Jim's going to walk me to my car because I forgot where I parked it. But the I want to thank also the people over at the station who came in early, Sean Sayre, to link this thing up, and hopefully we're still good friends. And now, as I always do in closing, and I mean this, I say, God bless, and today, lift somebody's burden. Don't be part of their burden. Sorry about that. Somebody's burden. Lift it up. We're all in this together. Let's support each other, not knock each other down. It's a tough world out there for a lot of people, and I just would ask all of you to know that when you're dealing with people, and be kind. What's the old saying? Kindness costs nothing. Be well. Talk to you soon. Staff, thanks a million.
And thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you.